Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of April 21, 2023. This week is a chance for my hearers to catch up. I have recorded this week's lessons and a new hymn, which will be featured at the end of the podcast. But the message is regarding Genesis chapter 23. So there will be a reading of Genesis chapter 23. And then the message was originally recorded Friday, January 29, 2021. This is called The View from the Cave. It is based on Genesis chapter 23. The summary of it goes like this. Abraham loses his wife, Sarah. A proper burial was so important in the ancient world, but there was someone else buried in a cave, and he lives, which means there's life beyond the tomb. And so in this Easter season, The View from the Cave. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Our next reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1. "And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24. "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they did not see.' And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Our reading for our discussion today is from Genesis chapter 23. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, "I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." The Hittites answered Abraham, "Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you this tomb to hinder you from burying your dead." Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, "If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place." Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of his city, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people I give it to you. Bury your dead." Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, "But if you will hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there." Ephron answered Abraham, "My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead." Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Many a fixture of little old country churches is the church cemetery. I served at a beautiful place in southern Indiana at St. John's Lutheran, formed in 1846. The old church was way back off the beaten path. It had once been on a wagon trail, and so there was an older cemetery for the church that was originally built. One older than the one beside the church that was built in the early 1900s, where I actually served. it was important to early Lutherans in the United States not only to have a place to worship, but also to have a place to bury one's loved ones when they passed on. Our places of worship are for the living. But there is this curse that we all live with. We live with a curse on the creation because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It wasn't that God hadn't warned them of the consequences. They knew what the consequences would be. It was an objective thing. Yet they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The consequence was death. To prevent them from returning to the garden and eating of the tree of life, that other tree in the garden, God placed an angel. Dr. John Morris, in his book, The Young Earth, says that death was a blessing. If God had not put the angel there to guard the way to the tree of life, then they would have been able to eat of that tree and they would have been separated from God forever. But death is not the end for us. We will be raised. We will live again. Those who believe in God will be reunited with Him in the same way that Adam and Eve walked with Him in the garden. Jesus says at the end of Matthew, "I am with you always." Can you imagine being able to walk with the Creator? To be able to walk with the Savior? The way I picture the situation is that God lives outside of time. Let's say you wanted to go back and see your great-grandfather. If we could go back in time, we could go back to a particular place in time and he would be there. That past and that place was real. Here, we've been reading about Sarah for several weeks. We have a picture of her life, or at least small parts of her life. When you look at a tombstone, there are two dates, the beginning and the end. But between the two dates, many times there was a lot of life lived, a lot of life left unspoken about. In Matthew 22, there's a narrative about this group of people named the Sadducees that didn't believe in the resurrection. We who are Christian, who know Jesus, believe in the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected. And we are also reassured that one day we will be resurrected. As it is with the people in this world, it is easy to get off track, to think things that just aren't so. And that was the Sadducees. Listen to this passage from Matthew 22. "The same day Sadducees came to him who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her.' But Jesus answered them, 'You're wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching." The Sadducees asked their question, intending to entrap Jesus. They thought that they had all the answers, and so when they asked, "Whose wife will she be?" when Jesus would answer, "Which one?" they would say, "Ah, it is irrelevant, because there is no resurrection." Jesus already knew what they were thinking and what their intentions were. So he instructs them on marriage in the life to come. Marriage is a this life kind of thing. He says, "You're wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." In this life, people are always marrying and giving in marriage. It is a feature of all times, places, and cultures. There may be an attempt to destroy marriage, but it is a reality of human desire and existence in this place. It was something that was instituted by God in the beginning. But then Jesus says something powerful about the resurrection. "And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. God reaches into our world, reaches into time, permeates time, but he also sits outside of time and has power and authority over it. I like to picture time as something like a river. God can sit on the bank and he can see things on the horizon all the way to the left and all the way to the right. At one end is Adam and Eve. Somewhere in the middle is you and me, and somewhere at the other end is the end of time. The horizon does not block God's view. He can see everything from beginning until end. He can reach into time and answer prayers anywhere on that timeline. Another analogy for time from God's perspective I like to use is that of a tapestry. On the left, we see Adam and Eve, and as you survey across that tapestry, you see all the people for all time. Think of what Jesus says about God. "Have you not read what was said to you by God? I'm the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living." Think of your own life. If you are young, you may not have experienced so much of this, but in my lifetime, I have seen many, many people go on to their Maker. Many of these people were dear friends, special to me. There are times that you or I will wish that we could talk to some of these people or go back in time and visit them for a little while. That is why, when they are with us, we cannot take people for granted. We have to love them while we have them. But when we know that someone has suffered so much, we cannot grieve too much when they go on to their Lord. They are in a much better place, living in the light of God's glory. They have left this timeline, and their souls have gone on to another plane, another place. I don't want to oversimplify or be mundane here, but sometimes I think of that place as being a bit like a video game. If I were to start up a video game, that little character is always in the same place. He has not gotten older. He is always there, always ready to go. God is the God of the living. And so those who have gone to be with him are still living, just in a different way, in a different place, a better place. Some who have come back from an experience have described it as a place that they never wanted to leave. At the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul speaks of such an experience. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter." So Paul encourages us not to concern ourselves too much about where those who have gone before us have gone. Just to know that God keeps them, and that is a good thing. He is the God of the living. Abraham bought the cave of Machpelah to bury Sarah. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and of all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. A cave for a tomb. This cave was the resting site of Abraham's precious wife, Sarah. Sarah was gone. The final date of her stay on this earth filled in. Sarah was an ancestor of Jesus who was to come. You know, Jesus was also buried in a cave. when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. A guard was placed at the tomb, with the pretense of guarding it, lest his disciples come and steal the body away. They also sealed the tomb with the stone. The stone was really large. But an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. Many witnesses saw that Jesus had risen, actually saw his wounds. Many people witnessed him before he ascended into heaven. Part of our existence on this earth is that people die. We accept it as a fact of life. People are born, they marry, and are given in marriage. People die. It's all part of life. But this is not what God intended. God had bigger plans for us. He intended for us to live beyond this current earthly existence. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You may have someone in your life at some point in the past, someone dear to you who passed away. Maybe your experience is much fresher, much newer, and that experience was like a gut punch. We can't bring them back, but we have a promise, a sure promise. We have a God who lives, who has risen from the dead as the first fruits of those who have risen. This means also that we are going to rise again. For us who believe in him, in Jesus, he prepares a place for us. He always intended that we should live eternally, and that's what he has in store for us. But it will not be like the shadow of an existence that we experience on this earth. It will be more full and more real than this existence. It will be what God intended from the very beginning. And we will not be separated from our God. We will be reunited with him. This is not something to fear. This is something to look forward to. In his timing, he will make it so for us through his son Jesus. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we can remember a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and are with you. We thank you for their example and their presence in our lives, for those who taught us the faith, for those who have loved you. We pray that you would guide us through this life, that we might winsomely share faith in you with others, that they might turn and be received into your kingdom. We pray it in your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Dear Lord Jesus, you are truth, and your truth sets us free. Help the people of our country to turn from sin and look to your truth, trusting in the promises that you give. We pray that the people of our nation would repent and be restored to you, that they may have life. For you are not the God of the dead, but of the living. Help us all to cast our cares and our sorrows upon you, remembering that even through the trials of this world, you still love us and care for us until we finish walking through this valley and come to you. Lord, we pray for all those who have COVID, who are rehabilitating or healing. We pray that you would care for all who are in care facilities, all who look to you for healing from illnesses, from surgeries, from cancer. We pray that you would bring healing and restoration and comfort and prepare the hearts and minds of those preparing to come to you. Help us in this life to always keep at the forefront of our minds the purposes that you have for us, knowing that the life we live here is in you, and that you have a great love for us, coming to save us out of sin and death. We pray all these things in your name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our verse this week is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 to 19. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. This is a prophecy about Jesus who was to come, spoken by Moses. All the passages that we use this day come from the English Standard Version translation of Scripture.
Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can for the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guidance day can be? Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. Come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. For all woes, a heart for every plea. Come, friend of sinners, thus abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Morning breaks, and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.